Hello, church. Happy Wednesday. The other day, I thought it would be good if we could add another day in the week. They go by too quick. Do you have that problem? Maybe not. Quick introduction. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here once again. We're not familiar. We're here waiting to hear from you, Lord. Thank you for everything that happens on this campus and in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Taught a Bible class last night, Theology of Grace, for Pastor Philippe. And what a great subject that is, huh? That would be a great class to teach. And I was talking to the students about Isaiah 55, verse 8. You know it very well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. The good news is that he does say that we have thoughts here. We are not a blank slate, a robot. We have been given the ability to think. Hallelujah. That's the only good news. The problem is that the way I think on my own is not the way God thinks. So tonight, if you go outside and look up at the stars, I don't think you're going to see stars because it's been cloudy. But when you see stars, you imagine that star and try to comprehend the distance of it. How far is the star from where I'm standing right now? What galaxy, how many miles, light years, all that scientific rocket science stuff that I don't know. But you have a little idea of what God is trying to communicate. He is saying, you know, for as far as the heaven is high, as far as the heaven is far away from where you are right now, that's how far your thoughts and how you think, with all that capacity to think and all that ability and all that intellect, all that learning, all that the college degree, the best of us, the best thinker on this planet falls so far short of God's thoughts on his own that they are compared to the furthest star away. And then the question is, in what way, if we were to make a list, in what way are my thoughts not like God's thoughts? Well, I think grace is on the top of the list. It's up there. There's many things we could say, too many. It's a humiliating verse, really. But grace is where I get it wrong. Most likely, I'm going to get it wrong in grace. Even today, even after decades like you in this church and learning about the finished work and learning about Jesus and hearing about the Father and his love for us, don't bank on me because I might lose track of grace. I might get it wrong. I thought about the prodigal son yesterday morning. He is sitting in the pig pen. He is sitting in the mud, and he is contemplating what he is to do. And he's trying to come up with a plan. He needs a plan. He has realized he's in trouble. This is a good starting point. He understands he's depraved, he's made bad decisions, he needs help. Now he needs to make a plan. What is the plan? How does he make the plan? Well, the problem is that he is using his own mind to come up with a plan. He tries to tap into his memory, but his memory is failing him. He grew up with the Father. He knows the Father. He saw the Father manifest grace over and over again. He heard the gentle words of the Father. There's no doubt in my mind that he witnessed a tremendous amount of grace. But somehow in that pig pen, in his natural mind, his memory is fractured and it doesn't complete. The thought is not complete. It doesn't work. So he goes to his imagination. And he tries to conjure up some kind of hopeful, desperate plan where he envisions himself leaving where he is sitting and going to the Father And he thinks, he has an idea about himself. He has a depleted idea, like a low self-esteem, a low version of himself. And he thinks, maybe, I have some vague memories of the Father. And I think if I show up there, that I can eke out an existence. I could just live in the shadow of my incredible, gracious, beautiful Father, and that will be enough for me. That'll be better than what I got right now. That part of the memory is working for him, and he just wants to survive. So he thinks of himself as just a low servant. And he goes to the Father, and we know the beautiful story. What is the problem? He didn't know grace as much as he could have known it, or should have known it, we could say. He didn't know the Father's house. He didn't know how it would operate there. He didn't know the Father's heart. And, in the most beautiful manifestation of grace, the Father embraces him and gives him the ring and gives him the robe and parties on. And then we have the brother. Same problem. It's funny to me that, the son doesn't know grace completely, fully, totally, and the brother doesn't know grace. They both don't know grace. One can't accept grace for himself, the other can't accept grace for others. I think this is so likely to happen to us, isn't it? Too easily, unfortunately. But I think about Isaiah 1:18. God is saying to us, come reason with me, get out of your own head. You can't do this on your own. You can't rationale, can't get you where I am. Thinking can't get you where I am. You need to have the Holy Spirit to understand grace. You need the new man. You need the Word of God. And come sit with me and reason with me on my level about grace, and you'll get it. You'll understand it, and it'll light up your world. And you'll understand that though your sins are like scarlet, they are white as snow. This is the theology of grace. We're always trying to figure it out, I guess, and we always need to hear more of it, and we're always trying to understand it more. But I know one thing. If I'm in trouble, if I'm confused, or if I've made a mistake, or if I've done something wrong, or if I'm depressed or down, I'm getting up and I'm going to where the Father lives. And I don't know if I'll have my memory working properly. I don't know. It's funny to me, like Pastor Schaller said the other day, how easily we forget the most beggarly, the most basic elements of who God is. The ABCs of God. What is the number one thing about God? He loves you. We learned it in Sunday school. And when we get in trouble, or when we are made a mistake, or when we're down, we can't even think of the most basic things. And if I could just tell my future self, just get up, go to the house. Whatever little concept of grace you have, jump on it, grasp it, accept it, let it pull you out of the mud and have it pull you towards the house, and the Father will do the rest, and we will see his beautiful heart. Amen. Pray with me for the offering. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. I wonder how long we'll be saying that to you. How many more centuries, millennials, will we be thanking you for grace. We are so thankful today. Bless this offering, Lord. We need to balance our budgets, and we're running short, and we just ask that you would put it on people's heart to give tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, we ask you to minister to our hearts with your word tonight, and thank you for sending us into this world We've been sent to Baltimore. We are sent, equipped. We are ministers of the New Testament. We are your people. Yes, Lord. And for our sisters and brothers in many parts of the world tonight, that they would be empowered and anointed with a freshness of your spirit and motivation in their hearts to follow you and listen to you. Equip them. Equip them. Speak to their hearts and encourage them with deep encouragement. For the devil resists the work of faith and the work of grace. Lord, man, teach us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, teach us to rebuke the enemy, to open our mouths to make known the mysteries. Bless us, Lord. Teach us prayer and to give us answers. Real answers, Lord, we have not because we ask not, but we are asking and believing you for more. We ask for Uricon to be blessed, Lord, and send people there, Lord, for encouragement. Yes, Lord, bless the spring season and send people this summer to Mongolia, perhaps Vietnam. Lord, we pray. Yes, Lord, Montenegro. Lord, we ask in your name, amen, hallelujah. Wow, great. Is the sound right on my microphone? Is it good? Okay, it sounds weird to me, but that's nothing new. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. And there's a couple things on my mind tonight. One is praise. I think praise is something we haven't spoken about in a long time. We've spoken about prayer, but praise and how much it is mentioned in the Psalms. And even in hard times, like Psalm 22, where it says God inhabits the praises of his people. And sometimes I've thought of it this way, that I have my burdens in life, and I just leave it, and I just praise God by faith. And I use my mouth to praise him. I think singing is a kind of praise, and then of course being thankful. We heard Sunday night great messages Sunday night from these men on this prayer theme, and I felt it in the room. I felt like there was the anointing, even maybe angels in the room, and was very encouraged because of freshness and what the freshness of God's presence means to us. And praise is something that I don't think we do it by nature. I think we can be thankful, but to really use all of our body parts, you could say, clap your hands, all you people, shout, dance, Psalm, what was it, 149. The mind is the key in praise, where God is present. and praise him. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Like almost you could say, I take my, rip off something here. That's okay. So I've got my things in my life, you know, and I could just, I don't have time. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. I'm going to put off the heaviness and put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, you know, in Psalm Isaiah 61. And it really is a decision to praise the Lord. It really is to turn to him and make a big thing out of who he is. And later I can go pick that up. But praise is actually a decision, because it may not be natural, it may not be easy, may not come to you like your state, our state of life, but to be sensitive to God and what God is thinking, what God is doing. Like, God is there, but do I know that? God is speaking. Am I listening? Am I responding? Am I available? And the burdens of life, and real pain. Like, that coat can be real pain, but I have to process the pain through God. We spoke about that today in high school, about anger. And how anger, there's a good thing about anger. Be angry, the Bible says. Be angry. We should be angry about things. But then it says, but sin not. Be angry, but sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath, because you're able to process the anger through God and forgive and learn to love and edify and forgive and praise and enter his courts with praise and gates with thanksgiving. And that's something that I have here. We praise God for his greatness. We praise him for his holiness. We praise him like Daniel did in chapter 2 for his wisdom. We praise him for his power in Psalm 21. For his mercy, that's a big one, loving kindness and truth, faithfulness and truth, salvation, wonderful works, his consolation, his judgment. Praise him for his counsel, fulfilling his promises, 1 Kings 8:56. All right, forgiveness. He pardons us of our sin, our iniquity, and heals us of all of our diseases. We praise him for our spiritual health, constant preservation. We praise him for our deliverance, Psalm 40, for protecting us, Psalm 28, for answering prayer, Psalm 28, verse 6. We praise him for all spiritual blessings, Psalm Ephesians 1, 3. All temporal blessings, Psalm 104. The continuance of the blessings, Psalm 68. It's a great, and what Pastor Pete said, the prodigal son coming home and having a home. He has a home of grace. And it rubs off on us, on each other, when we are so encouraging and thankful and we're occupied with praising God. So we enter into the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving, and then we are spirit-filled. And we are spirit-filled. It helps our mind and then our meditation. And we start to think about how valuable the ministry is. I want to say that in a generic way, not just greater grace, but the ministry of Christ, how valuable the ministry of Christ is. It's amazing. So let's go to Mark 1 and read about it here in verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan. Now, imagine, he really is, has no notoriety. He's not a public figure yet. He's a simple man like we are, just common people. And that's really the way the ministry works. He wasn't common, of course, he's Christ, but he's an example, and nobody knows him, and but what is he going to do? What is the ministry going to happen? What's the ministry going to do, the ministry of Christ on the earth? And then when he went, he left, and he sent us into this world. And who are we? But we are simple people. But we have something because we can take the burdens of life and say, they say, you know, you need to make your life important. And we kind of drop that and say, I don't have to make my life important. I have Jesus. I got Jesus. I'm making a big thing about Jesus in my heart. We are worshipers of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. Jesus can do what he wants with us. Lord, you are in our life. You are the answer. You are will empower us. You will anoint. You will keep us quiet. You will move in our prayers. You will help us live our life and help other people. Like you did. Let's go to verse 10. Straightway coming up. No, where are we? Yeah, verse 10. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's all. That's all that's needed. That the Father is for you. That the Father has anointed you, that you coming up out of the water, so to speak. I'm saying that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God has not given up on the world. That Jesus is gone, but the power of Jesus Christ is with us. The power and the nature of Christ is in us. That the living Christ, we are members of his body, flesh and bones. And we've been sent into the world for a reason. We are alive for a certain time and a certain reason of great value to God. Very important to God. Verse 11. The voice came, thou art my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, and immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Has that happened to you? Have you ever been driven into the wilderness? Have you ever been tested by God? Have you ever had a hard time? Have you ever felt that the trouble is overwhelming? Have you ever felt tested? Like, I want to leave. I want to get out. I want to go away. I want to fly away. I want to go to some island. I want to disappear. I want to get out of here. Yes. That's part of the ministry. That's part of what happens in this world with us. And Jesus was driven into the wilderness, but the Spirit did it. And it says in another gospel that God did it. God brought him into the wilderness. Another gospel says Satan brought him into the wilderness. This one just says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. All right, so that's verse 13. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. What's missing in that category, that group of creatures? What category is not there? Look at it. Satan is there. Wild animals are there. And angels are there. What's not there? People. He was in the wilderness. There were the wild animals. There were the angels. And there was the devil. And he's being prepared for ministry. He is learning that life is more than people. There are wild animals in life. There is Satan in his life. And there, what was the other one? Satan and angels. There was Satan, demons, and there were angels, and there were wild animals. Our view of life has to be bigger than our society, has to be bigger than our troubles. Our view of life has to be bigger. God has sent us into the world so that we can rebuke the devil, that we can be visited by angels, that we could put the devil under our feet. We can cast out demons. God uses the ministry to help get people's lives straightened out. They would find him and follow him. Go to the next verse, 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't stop. He just started, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." It's a message of turning to God. It's a message of repentance. It's a message of a changed life. It's a message where the authority of God changes a person from the inside, where they get this hunger. I remember it happening in my life when I got this hunger. And I just started to, it's the same. We just get this desire and this laser beam focus. I have found him. That happens here. I have found him. I found the Bible. I found not just people. I found the ministry of God on the earth. I found it. And somebody has to pay a price for it. Somebody has to give up their life in order to get it. Like Jesus had to give up his life. He had to come here and surrender all and be obedient to the Father. And then he had a ministry that had such a big impact. It was huge what happened. Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee. And who is he? What is he doing? He's just taking a walk along the sea. But there's something going on. You can't see it. Yeah, he might not talk to you about it, but it's on his heart. He knows it. He's just walking along the Sea of Galilee. But the ministry has started. His ministry started. And there was just a simple guy there, Peter. And you know how it goes. But I want to say the same about us. I do. I believe it. It's the same. It's being repeated. There's something that we have to share. We are pointing. We are believing. We are praying for this. We're wanting somebody who is just fishing. Right, we're wanting some, the depth of the thought about God's thoughts regarding Peter, the depth of what he's going to do with Peter. Peter has no idea. He has no idea what's coming. He has no idea what's going to happen in his life. That's what the ministry does. It's still going on. That's what it is. It's something beyond us. It's God calling, God speaking. God, just a simple guy, but well, history is going to be different because of Jesus Christ and him, right? Let's look at it. Verse. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. Straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. What? They did. They did. They got in the car. And they drove to Baltimore. Or Southborough, Mass. Or Helsinki, Finland. Or Accra, Ghana. Or Beijing, China. It's the same. It's the same. Somebody has a calling, and they're going to make a decision, and they're going to do this because God is doing it. And God is showing us, and we relate to it. I think praise as a way of life will help you and me keep our focus on the important things, because these things do hijack us. They take hours, weeks, months, years, these things. And unfortunately, sometimes they never get better. They don't really change. Sometimes we solve them. Sometimes they come back another way. But sometimes this is all that people have in their life, is how they live. And they don't have praise, thanksgiving. They are not putting on faith. The church is not that important. They're not reading their Bible with any interest. They don't have any real thing going on in their hearts in Silver Spring or Owings Mills or Edgewood. Or Habitat Grace, or Fed Hill, or Dundalk, or Sterling Johnson in New York, or Budapest, or Helsinki. It's the same everywhere in the world. Okay? So, let's finish here. When that guy got up, a lot of you looked at him, and so that's a message to me. You're done. You've heard enough. He's more important. Verse 18, straightway they forsook their nets, followed him, and when he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Straightway he called them, left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. That's a big thing to do, to stop what I'm doing and follow him. My dad, I stop it, I follow him. But what about your dad? I can't do that right now. My dad's got to do it on his own. What about your nets that you're mending? No, I'm not done. I'm done. I'm going. I'm following him. I'm not finishing that. What an amazing, powerful thing this thing is that's called the ministry. And may it be happening. It is happening. Not greater grace. Yes, thank you, Lord, for whatever you are doing with us. And we want to keep our focus on what you are doing. But this isn't only missions. This is raising a family. This is telling your kids that the Lord's important to us as a family. You know, we have our things, but we have Jesus in our house. And Jesus is important in our family. And let's trust him. And maybe one of your children is on the phone in a bad way, in a wrong way. Then your child needs the help, governance, encouragement, instruction, guidance, friends, pastoral care, camp life, and so on. And these good things that happen. So let me finish. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. It will help you. And there'll be a time when in your prayer or your praise where you will sense He will help you in your study and in your sense of His importance. And He's saying, I am important. Now, I want to teach you one simple thing about talking to God. Have a little spice in your conversation with God. And say something like this. This is between you and God. You can't hurt it, God. God, I don't think you love me. Do you love me? God, come on. Do you love me? Tell me. Talk to me. Do you love me? Lord, I'm not feeling so good. What are you going to do about it? Do you love me? And in humility, you come before God. Have a dialogue. Talk. Be real. Be very real with God. Amen. And bring it before God and receive His love. The Holy Spirit will fill you. And you will have fellowship, a good talk, a good time with the Word of God in your heart. And then you will have teeth in your prayer. And you will say, you know, no. I don't accept this. I don't accept it. I believe you. I believe you. I ask you in your name, Jesus, change this. I don't believe it. I don't accept it. I don't want it. Show it to me. Come on, Lord, God, you are my God. You know me. You know me. And you have this free spirit. You praise and you talk and you relate and you listen and you love and you are loved. You are in fellowship. Prayer. I've read books about, I've thought about it. I don't really read a lot of books about prayer, but I know people, I like to read about the saints, but I just want to say there are people that discover this relationship with God in such a way that it is so constraining to them, it's the greatest delight of their life. There's nothing in the world that compares to it. The greatest delight of life is Him and relating to Him and worshiping Him and loving Him and being loved by Him and listening to Him and spending the time and the focus and the concentration. And it is hard sometimes. These things are in the Psalms, you know. This is in the Psalms, these troublesome, difficult things. I'm not saying you can totally get rid of them in one way, but I am saying praise, praise, prayer, thanksgiving, and then you find yourself following Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, things happen. And it's exciting when Jesus is doing these things. There are things happening, and Jesus is doing them. He is doing them. It's exciting what Jesus is doing. He's doing it. Amen. Okay, would you pray with me? It says in the Psalms, let His praise be continually in my mouth. But Lord, you know the heartache of life sometimes. Yes, I know. God says, yes, I know. But let my praise be continually in your mouth. Teach me that, God. Instead of complaining, praising. Instead of worrying, prayer and supplications and thanksgiving. Praising, Lord. Fill our cars with praise. Fill our hearts in the morning with praise and thanksgiving. Our meetings, our assembly, our time that come when we meet each other, we come with the spirit of love and joy and praise and thanksgiving. And maybe weeping happens too and is important, but then our general disposition is one of praise and thanks. Thank you, Lord. Lead us as a church in these things, and may the ministry of Christ be happening around the world in the same way when he came. May it be happening in the world everywhere. In your name, and anyone who is not a born-again believer, would you come to Jesus as you are tonight? You're not changing. You are coming as you are to trust him, and he changes you, and you agree with him. Change me, Lord. I will be changed, and I agree. I will repent from my stuff and put you on, trust you with all my heart, and respond to you in faith. In your name, amen. Amen.